It is of Vritrasura. And today we cover a lot of verses, text 6 to 18. And on the board is 18, so I will just read 6 to 17 by myself. It's a lot of emotion, a lot of but the things happening in these verses. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam suraganam krudho vishayam vapusharipun yanadat sumaha prano yena loka vichetasaha. Shukadeva Goswami said, Vritrasura, the angry and most powerful hero, terrified the demigods with his stout and strongly built body. When he roared with a resounding voice, nearly all living entities fainted. Tena deva gana sarve vritras visputanena vai nipetur murchita bhumo yatai vasani nahatah. When all the demigods heard Vritrasura's tumultuous roar, which resembled that of a lion, they fainted and fell to the ground as if struck by thunderbolts. Mamarda padmyam surasainyam aturam nimilitaksham ranaranga durmadaha gam kampayan udhyata shula ojasa nalambanam yuta patir yathunmadaha. As the demigods closed their eyes in fear, Vritrasura, taking up his trident and making the earth tremble with his great strength, trampled the demigods beneath his feet on the battlefield, the way a mad elephant tramples hollow bamboos in the forest. Vilokyatam vajradarotyamarshita swasatravi bhidravate mahagadam chikshepatam apatatim sudhu asam jagrahvamena karena lilaya. Seeing Vritrasura's disposition, Indra, the king of heaven, became intolerant and threw at him one of his great clubs, which are extremely difficult to counteract. However, as the club flew toward him, Vritrasura easily caught it with his left hand. So Indra Shatru Kupito Brashantaya Mahindra Vaham Gadayoru Vikrama Jagana Kumba Stala Unnadan Marde Tatkarma sarve samupajayan nripa. O King Parikshit, the powerful Vritrasura, the enemy of King Indra, angrily struck the head of Indra's elephant with that club, making a tumultuous sound on the battlefield. For this heroic deed, the soldiers on both sides glorified him. Airavato vritra gada bimrishto vigurnito dri kulishahato yatta apasarat bhinna mukasa indru munshan asrik saptadanur brishartha. Struck with the club of Vritrasura like a mountain struck by a thunderbolt, the elephant Airavata, feeling great pain and spitting blood from its broken mouth, was pushed back 14 yards. In great distress, the elephant fell with Indra on its back. Nasanna bahaya vishanna chitasi prayunta bhuya sagadham mahatma Indro mritasyandi karabhi marsha vita vyatha kshatavahu vataste. When he saw Indra's carrier elephant thus fatigued and injured, and when he saw Indra morose because his carrier had been harmed in that way, the great soul Vritrasura, following religious principles, refrained from again striking Indra with the club. Taking this opportunity, Indra touched the elephant with his nectar-producing hand, thus relieving the animal's pain and curing its injuries. Then the elephant and Indra both stood silently. Satam Nripendra Hava Kamyayan Ripum Vajrayudham Bratri Hanam Vilokya Smaram Shatat Karma Nrisam Samahamaha Shukena Mohena Sanjagada. O King, when the great hero Vritrasura saw Indra, his enemy, the killer of his brother, standing before him with a thunderbolt in his hand, desiring to fight, Vritrasura remembered how Indra had cruelly killed his brother. Thinking of Indra's sinful activities, he became mad with lamentation and forgetfulness. Laughing sarcastically, he spoke as follows. Shri Vritra Uvacha Tishtya Bhavan Me Samavastito Ripur Yo Brahmaha Guruha Bratrihacha Dishtya Nri No Dhyaham Asattamatvaya Machula Nirbhina Drishat Dridachirat. Shri Vritrasura said, he who has killed a Brahmana, he who has killed a spiritual master, indeed, he who has killed my brother, is now, by good fortune, standing before me face to face as my enemy. O most abominable one, when I pierce your stone-like heart with my trident, I shall be freed from my debt to my brother. Yo no grajasyat ma vido dvijatir gurur apapasya chadikshitasya. Vrishabhya kagdena shiramsya vrishchat pashur ivakaruna sarvarga kama. Only for the sake of living in the heavenly planets, you killed my elder brother. A self-realized, sinless, qualified Brahmana who had been appointed your chief priest. He was your spiritual master. But although you entrusted him with the performance of your sacrifice, you later mercilessly severed his head from his body, the way one butchers an animal. Shri Ridaya Kritibir Ujjitam Tum Swakarmana Purushadhaischa Garyam Kritrena Machula Vibhinna Deham Aprishtavanhim Samadanti Gridraha. Indra, you are bereft of all shame, mercy, glory, and good fortune. Deprived of these good qualities by the reactions of your fruitive activities, you are to be condemned even by the man-eaters, Rakshasas. Now, I shall pierce your body with my trident, and after you die with great pain, even fire will not touch you. Only the vultures will eat your body.
Anyenye tviha nrisam samagyo yadudyatastra paharanti mahyam tairbhutanatam saganam nishata trishula nirbinagalair yajami.
You are naturally cruel. If the other demigods, unaware of my prowess, follow you by attacking me with raised weapons, I shall sever their heads with this sharp trident. With those heads, I shall perform a sacrifice to Bhairava and the other leaders of the ghosts, along with their hordes. So we came to text 18 on the board.
Ato hare me kulishe navira artha pramathya eva shiro yadiya tatranri no bhuta balim vidaya manasvinam padaraja prapatsi.
Maybe one or two of you can read if you like.
Vaishnavis.
So, otherwise, Hare, O King Indra, may of me, Kulishena, by your thunderbolt, Vira, O great hero, Harta, you cut off, Pramatya, destroy my army, Eva, certainly, Shiraha, head, Yadi, if, Iha, in this battle, Tatra, in that case, Andrinaha, relieved of all deaths in this material world, Bhuta Balim, a presentation for all living entities, Vidaya, arranging, Manasvinam, of great sages like Narada Muni, Pada Rajaha. The dust of the lotus feet. Prapatse, I shall achieve. Translation. But if in this battle you cut off my head with your thunderbolt and kill my soldiers, O Indra, O great hero, I shall take great pleasure in offering my body to other living entities, such as jackals and vultures. I shall thus be relieved of my obligations to the reactions of my karma. And my fortune will be to receive the dust from the lotus feet of great devotees like Narada Muni. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Narottam Das Thakur sings, Echaya Goshani Yar Muitaro Das Tansavara Padarinu Mora Panchagras. Quote, I am the servant of the six Goswamis, and the dust of their lotus feet provides me five kinds of food. Unquote. A Vaishnava always desires the dust of the lotus feet of previous Acharyas and Vaishnavas. Vritrasura was certain that he would be killed in the battle with Indra because this was the desire of Lord Vishnu. He was prepared for death because he knew that after his death he was destined to return home back to Godhead. This is a great destination, and it is achieved by the grace of a Vaishnava, Chadhya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payeche Keba. No one has ever gone back to Godhead without being favored by a Vaishnava. In this verse, therefore, we find the words Manasvinam Padarajaha Prapatsye. I shall receive the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees. The word Manasvinam refers to great devotees who always think of Krishna. They are always peaceful, thinking of Krishna, and therefore they are called Dhira. The best example of such a devotee is Narada Muni. If one receives the dust of the lotus feet of a Manasvi, a great devotee, he certainly returns home, back to God. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Agnanjana Salakaya Shakshiru Miritam Mena Tasmai Shri Guru Vinamanam Vishuddhaya Vishwasthaya Vishwapadaya Krishna Vistaya Budhari Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavati Paschatya Deshatarine Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Iva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namo. See, we have seen many verses in this bloody battle, bloody, literally bloody. There's a lot of blood being shed by men, demigods, animals, like the elephant Airavata got his mandible broken. And a lot of emotion, a lot of anger, a lot of resentment, a lot of revenge, feeling of revenge, a lot of hatred, a lot of fear. So there is a lot of feelings. At the same time, in this verse, this last verse of this series, there is a shift. Basically, Vritrasura is considering, is saying, I'm going to kill you, or try my best to kill you, cut your head off. Indra, you're sinful, you're useless, you have no mercy, you have no fame, not even the fire will touch your body when you're dead. You're so contaminated. Your fire will not agree to burn your body. But jackals, vultures, they eat, will eat it. So a lot of insults, a lot of dark sentiments. At the same time here, there is a shift. And Vritrasura, he concludes, but if you kill me, no problem, because then I will, then you cut my head, it's not a problem, because then I will have the, I will attain the lotus feet, the dust of the lotus feet of the Manasvis, the great devotees. And Srila Prabhupada kind of add Narada Muni to the translation, because he has insight in Vritrasura's heart. See, Narada Muni is the spiritual master of Vritrasura. You remember, Vritrasura was Chitraketu, and Narada Muni was his instructor. Not only his Shiksha Guru, was also his Diksha Guru. He gave him the mantra through which Chitraketu could have darshan of Sankarshan. But then they had this problem, they got cursed, and now he's a big demon. But he knows that this is all circumstantial. The real thing, the real desire is to go back home, back to God, and reunite with the spiritual master and forget everything about this world of duality. Higher planet, lower planets, middle planet. And this is very much, both by words and by spirit, resonating and actually aligning with what we studied last canto, fifth canto, when Jad Bharat speaks to Maharaj Rahugana, and he uses this exactly the same word. Let me get it for you. Okay, there is this famous verse, which one day I actually memorized. Rahuganaita tapasanayati nachi jaya nurvapanad griyadva nachandasa naiva jalagni suryair vina mahat padarajo bishikam. So basically, here Jad Bharata was saying, look, you cannot understand the absolute truth through all these processes. They're all verses, a list of processes. You can do tapasya, you can sit in winter in the cold water, you can sit under the sun in summer, you can do this, that, you can be a perfect grihastha, perfect sannyasi, perfect brahmachari. He goes on. But vina, without, mahat, the great devotees, padarajo abhishekam, without getting the abhishekam, by what this abhishekam of padaraja, the dust of the lotus feet, which is the same word used here, padaraja. So you see this continuation, but that's the essence. After all this emotions and narratives happenings, before was Jad Bharat, he was a Bharat, the King Bharat, then he was a deer, now is Jad Bharat, and after he concludes, Rahugana, oh King Rahugana, you can't understand the absolute truth by this and that, unless you get the dust of the lotus feet. And here is the same. After everything, I get killed, it's fine. You cut my head, it's fine. Because ultimately, what do I want? I don't want my head, I don't want the kingdom. I want the Padaraja, the dust of the lotus feet. And Srila Prabhupada picks on that very strongly in the purport. He quotes Narottam Das Thakur. He's saying, he quotes this song, this Hari Araya Nama Krishna song, very famous song. At one point he says, again, the six Goswamis, they are my masters, I am their servants. And their lotus, Padarenu, same concept, Padaraja, the dust of their lotus feet, is my five kinds of food. It means it's my nourishment. That's what I need. See, food is what we need. Ultimately, it boils down, we need to eat something. So this my nourishment is this lotus feet dust of the six Goswamis. Panchagras, my five types of food. Now, I'm sorry, but I don't know exactly what the five types of food means. Because I know the four types of foods. Chaturvidha, Sibhagavat Prashada, now when you chew, when you suck, when you drink, and so on. I know the six tastes of food, no? Sweet, bitter, and so on. Five foods, I don't know, I couldn't find it, what it means. Maybe it means that it feeds the five pranas. That's my... Anybody knows what exactly the five foods means? Five types of foodstuffs? Okay, that's one type. Five time you're taking. You're very esoteric, Prabhu. So you're taking five. Why five? Because of the five pranas. Oh, okay, anyway, you get the idea. Huh? The five what? Oh, the five. Okay, well, let's adjourn on this. We'll take it up some other time. But thank you for trying, or maybe no, maybe you are actually answered. I just sorry. Okay. Anyway, we got the idea that at the end of the whole discussion of everything, philosophy, this, that. At the end, that's essence. Like Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says there are the most powerful substances. The most powerful substances for spiritual advancement are three. One, the water which has washed the feet of the devotees. Two, the foodstuffs which has been chewed by the devotees, in other words, the remnants of devotees, the maha, uchishta. Then, third, the dust of the lotus feet. I mean, the old Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many ways of spiritual advancement and so on, but the three most powerful, they are these three things. So that's the conclusion. And we see, again, here, Srila Prabhupada quotes Narottam Das Thakur, and Narottam Das Thakur also another song, Shirupa Manjari Pada. It's all about feet. It's all about taking the taking shelter at the feet. In that song, Narottam Das Thakur says, the lotus feet of Shirupa Manjari are my everything. Just to give some example, he says, I prepared for this class. I prepared. Just so you know. He says, these lotus feet are my real wealth, sampada, my real opulence. They're the object of my devotional service. They're not just the means. Okay, I worship the feet, I go up. No, I do everything else so I can get to those feet. They are the treasure of my heart. They are my ornaments and the life of my life. They're reservoirs of rasa and the conclusion of the religion of the Vedas. They are the fulfillment of all my desires and the goal of my vows. What we take vratas, like in this month of Purushottam, I'm sure at least some of you took some vrata, some vows. The goal of Narottam Das Thakur's vows, he says, are lotus feet of Sri Rupa Manjari. My austerity and so on, my chanting of my mantra, and so on. The old song is about that. So basically this is the essence. And after the old turmoil, after all tumultuous sounds of battle, after everything is said and done, all the fights and conflicts, that's the shore to which to arrive. And that's what the Bhagavatam says, and the Gaudiya Vaishnavas especially, they pick up very strongly on that message, and that message pervades all art and culture of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Another point I wanted to bring up quickly, because time is very limited, is this, there's not only this conflict that we see here. There is Indra, his army, Vritrasura, his army. There's some revenge, Indra killed his brother. But we see also a conflict, or at least a polarity of priorities. One is, we could say, the social priority. Indra, you killed my brother. He was a Brahma, he was your guru. He initiated you into the sacrifice, and then you killed him? Not good. I'm very angry at you, I'm going to kill you. It's my duty. I have a Rini. This word comes a couple of times here. The Rini means a debt. I have a debt. You killed my brother, I have a debt to revenge him. At the same time, you see that there is this other element of dharma, which is beyond that. They say, okay, I die, I am, Srila Prabhupada say, all my karma is clean. Srila Prabhupada translates, I shall thus be relieved of my obligations to the reactions of my karma. So in other words, I try to do my duty, my social duty, could say varnashram duty, but then if I get killed, I'm clear of all that. And I get to my real destination, which is the lotus feet of my guru, beyond everything. So we see sometimes also this conflict in our movement, conflict in the sense of ideological conflict, because there are different ecosystems. Some devotee use this word to describe this. Some of you may not know him, because he's famous in Russia. Gaur Krishna Prabhu is the BBT in charge there, as a very deep thinker. So he developed this expression that in ISKCON we have different ecosystems, different, and he speaks about three ecosystems. One is the relation between guru and disciple, guru shisha relation, which is, we see the essence of everything ultimately is the real, I mean, not the real in the sense that others is not real, but is the essence that we see throughout the scriptures, we see throughout Srila Prabhupada's teaching. Then there is the institutional ecosystem. There is an organization that needs to run, that needs to have laws, that needs to have rules and regulation, and they need also to regulate the standards, to some extent, the standards of interaction between the guru and the shiksha. That's the organization. And then there is the social ecosystem. Social ecosystem means many of us married, have children, we have parents. And that's not directly or exclusively, we could say, spiritual. Of course, can be spiritualized, can be very much performed through the lenses of our relation with Guru and Krishna. But in nature, is social, because it's based on the body. somebody, I have children, you know, they come from my body, or in this case, Vritrasura, I have a brother. So it's based on the body, you could say the Varnashram and the old social type of duties. And sometimes there is some conflict in the sense of there are different devotees who stress the importance of one or the importance of the other. Some people we hear often, especially if, maybe even from this Vyasasan we hear, but if especially if you read in the internet and so on, some people stress very much, you know, Varnashram is essential, we have to establish Varnashram, we have to work out really the social interactions, because that's the basis for advancement and all that. And some of the people have less interest in that and say, look, the essence of spiritual life is serving Guru and Krishna, the essence of spiritual life is performing bhakti. Yes, we have a body, we need to have situated somewhere, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, but that's not really the real thing. So sometimes we have a similar tension in our movement as well. But as we see here, after discussing everything, social dharma, revenge for the brother's death and all that, the conclusion is that ultimately it's manasvinam padarajha prapatsi, to achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of the great devotees. So, because it's basically time for ending the class, according to this thing, please finish Srimad Bhagavatam class by 8:45. So I'll close here, officially. But if somebody has questions you want to discuss a little more, we can stay a little more. So Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Vritrasura ki jai. So if there's any question, we can continue. But the class is officially over. Yes? Can we give this gentleman a mic?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thanks. You hear me good?
Pardon?
Yeah, hello. Okay, it sounds good now.
Sounds good, huh?
Yeah.
Well, the sound is good.
Okay, then you hear me.
Yeah. Okay. Can you speak? Yeah, speak loud and clear, yeah?
I have a question, and it's very clear. From where I have read... from where I read, uh-huh. I have seen that Sadhguru Swamis, as we speak, they don't wear like the Brahman thread. As we speak.
Yeah.
And but today we can see pictures, they are wearing Brahman threads.
Uh-huh.
Or drawings. And basically there's an argument that actually nobody has a picture of them in the 1600s or something like that. But for me it's not so relevant. Actually the teaching is what is relevant. But it's important to notice that I just wanted to ask you if possibly you can explain to me more about worshipping the lotus feet of a spiritual master in that concern, and if you can clear up
that what?
This
worshipping the lotus feet of the spiritual master?
Yeah, in that concern I'm trying to make that understanding, because it might be confusing at some point. For the sadhakas who are just learning, right? If I see this, then for me there is like a disassociation. If I see the Goswamis with Brahman threads, then, and actually they do not have.
Sorry, I missed that connection. You say you don't want me to talk about the relation guru disciple worship of the, yeah. And what's a Brahmin thread has to do with the question?
Yeah, well, it's just something to that I want to really point out at, because maybe for that.
Okay.
It's important.
Okay. I'll try to say something.
Please, thanks.
So first of all, the Brahmin thread, okay? Now, there is the whole history of the Brahmin thread. And I don't know how much time we can spend on this, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur even says that at one point nobody was wearing the Brahmin thread. The Brahmin thread simply represents like the chadar, no? So when you don't have a chadar, you have the Brahmin thread that represents that. In particular, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, you're right. Generally, after Lord Chaitanya, these Vaishnavas were really abandoning all external, we could say, social characteristics or symbols. Those Vaishnavas who were Brahmin by birth and they had the Brahmin thread, sometime when they would become renunciants, they will also leave the Brahmin thread. It's especially described, Lord Chaitanya, when he took sannyas, he gave up both the hair, including the sikha, and the Brahmin thread, described. So traditionally, sannyasis would give up the Brahmin thread. At least, again, when we talk about tradition, we are talking about a certain sector of history. You know, there are different traditions. And they were not actually even chanting the Brahma Gayatri, which is generally is what one chants when you get the Brahmin thread. The Upanayan, we say second initiation or Brahmin initiation, but in Indian culture it's called Upanayan, it's a samskara. In general, it's given by the father to the child when he becomes, you know, 12 or something. So you get this Upanayam and you chant the Brahma Gayatri, which the Vaishnava, the Gaudiya Vaishnava, were not chanting for some time. Now, and also there is difference. Some lineage, some parivars of Gaudiya Vaishnavas accepted the Brahmin thread earlier and some later. Like our line, we started wearing Brahmin thread after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Even Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if you see all the photos, he will never have a Brahmin thread because he was a Kayasta. He was not born as a Brahmana. So he will never wear the Brahmin thread. You see in all his photos, even later in life, he doesn't have a Brahmin thread. So, I mean, this is just to give a little background. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no, we want to establish this concept that the Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmana. Because if a Vaishnava is serious, sadhaka, he will have the qualities of the Brahmanas. Not only that, but because we want people to listen to the Vaishnava, to respect them. And so he established that Vaishnavas will wear the Brahmin thread. He himself wore the Brahmin thread, although he was a sannyasi. So it's a strategy. And of course, it's a symbol. It's a symbol. But he wanted to establish, no, we wear the Brahmin thread. The Vaishnavas wear the Brahmin thread so the people can take you seriously. Otherwise, they'll take, oh, no Brahmin thread? Ah, low class. And that will be very bad for the people. Vaishnavas don't care, really. But for the people, it would be very bad. They will not be able to listen. Oh, low-class person, what they will know about philosophy. Okay, so this was a quick thing of the Brahmin thread. Worshipping the lotus feet of the Guru. That was the main thing. The main... Obviously, there are... when we say worshiping the lotus feet, we understand that there are symbolic elements. In other words, worshiping the lotus feet doesn't only mean, say, do the puja, offering a series of articles, like argya, or no water, or deep, or what's deep, lamps, and stuff like this. That's part of the puja, and it's very important part of the worship, because it reminds us, it kind of forces us to do that. Therefore, we have Guru Puja every day. We sing this song by Narottam Das Thakur. Ideally, we should really absorb in the meaning, and so on and so forth. Shri Guru Charna Padma Kevala Bhakati Sadma. That's the way through the two pure bhakti. And that's what also Chaitanya Charitamrita explains when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sri Rupa Goswami in Halabad. He explained, this is the sequence. Guru Pada Ashraya Diksha Guru Rasavan is the first three, sequentially. Guru Pada Ashraya, you take shelter in the Guru. In other words, you take shelter in a teacher. Again, this pada idea. Pada is not just the feet. Obviously, it's not just the physical structure of the feet. A guru may not even have feet. Maybe he lost his legs. Still, he can be a guru. It's not that, I don't have feet. I cannot give shelter on my feet. So the feet represents the humility of going down to the feet and be humble and be a student, obviously. It's like, when somebody looks eye to eye, that obviously is like a peer or a challenge. No, I look you in the eye, look you in the eye, like that. But if I look at your feet, it means I accept you as a superior. So, Guru Pada Ashraya, you get the shelter of a teacher that teaches you bhakti. Then, Guru Pada Ashraya, Diksha, you formalize, you officialize, you solemnize the relation by Diksha, in different forms. Also, we can talk about the history of Diksha, but basically you formalize the Shiksha through Diksha, right? You establish, you get the name and so on. And then Guru Rasavan, and you serve the Guru. And that, of course, is not just an episode, it's something that goes on forever. Is that from that point onward, you serve the Guru. That's your identity. I'm a servant of my spiritual master. And that service can take different forms. First of all, of course, you learn from the Guru. And learning from the Guru doesn't only mean directly learn from the Guru. If your Guru tells you to study Srila Prabhupada books, that means you're learning from the Guru that tells you to read Srila Prabhupada books. So that doesn't mean, does it have to be only from him personally, or only what he wrote or what he spoke? And that goes on, and that goes on. You learn, you study, and then you work for the mission of the Guru. If you can do it full time, great. If you have other duties, fine. At least you remember. Like Srila Prabhupada, when he accepted his Guru, he took initiation. He was already married and had children. So he had these duties. He couldn't just leave and go to join the Gaudiya Math. But as a Grihastha, he kept meditating how to serve his Guru. He started a Back to God magazine, just as an example, in 1944, during the war, actually. So, that's the identity of the disciple. I'm the servant of my Guru. And there is Bapu, there is Bani. When the Guru is present physically, you directly serve his body, his needs, and so on, in a very humble way, in a menial way. Like it is described how Ishwara Puri got this great blessing of becoming the Guru of God, the Guru of Lord Chaitanya, also because he was so humble in serving Madhavendra Puri. At one point, Madhavendra Puri manifested this invalidity, not being able to function with his, and Ishwara Puri was doing everything for him, cleaning him and everything like that. So sometimes it's Bapu, but most of the time, and for when the Guru is not present physically, then it's Vani. There's some desire of the Guru, there's some instruction. First of all, the basic instruction, the basic standards of devotional service, but sometimes a special instruction that the Guru may give you, and that you dedicate your life to that instruction.
Hare Krishna.
Does it work?
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Dahil Gauranga Prabhu.
Kantaya Prabhu, you touched at the end of your class.
Huh?
At the end of your class, you mentioned the three ecosystems.
Uh-huh.
And it seems like takes a lot of thought and revelation how to balance them, you know, because sometimes one's guru can give instructions which will go against the institution will give instructions
against the institution,
against maybe the local vision of local authorities, not necessarily head to head conflict, but there may be some subtle conflicts between three of those. Definitely in some cases there would be obvious things and it will be maybe easier to choose when the guru falls down, but guru in a good stand, institution is ISKCON given by Srila Prabhupada, your family is okay, your wife is a devotee, so you know there's three scenes, you know, these three ecosystems, and how one, what is the, you know, is there some rule of a thumb, any priority which our institution maybe or our thinkers worked out?
Our institution worked out?
Thinkers of our institution worked out. How to balance those three?
See, at the end, it all boils down to a personal application. There are, you say guidelines. Throughout all the books, there are guidelines. How to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, how to be a good father, and so on and so forth. At the end, obviously, it's a personal application, because some people may be a husband but not be a father, or some people may be a father but not a husband, or some people may not neither be a father nor a husband but be a disciple, and or son. You may be a son but not be a father. So ultimately every individual has to make their own choices. And generally the basic parameters are clear. Like somebody comes to ISKCON from whatever background, comes to ISKCON, takes initiation. So his basic duties are clear. No? He follows the four regulative principles, he chants 16 rounds as a minimum, and then of course he should also study, should do some service. Huh? Somebody can just dedicate, okay, I do service full time, I join a missionary activities. Somebody will also say, no, I have some duties that will not be fulfilled by joining because I have some economic obligations, so I have to produce economy for that. So each person, according to their situation and according to their karma, they have to really find its own balance. We can give general guidelines. We can give examples, like we could say, okay, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he would get up at midnight and write his book, or 10 o'clock, I don't know, 10 o'clock or midnight, and write his books and chant, and then go to the court in Krishnanagar. That can give us some illumination, but we are not judges in Krishnanagar, and we don't generally get up at midnight. So, but we can get some inspiration. We can see. So, guidelines, there are many guidelines. But at the end, everyone has to see what he can do and what he should do. Like somebody has to provide for his family. You know, you got two grihasthas. Both have to provide for the family. But for someone, maybe has the karma that with very little work, maybe 1 month a year, he can provide for the family. And Samadhi Grihastha is not able to do that. He has to work much more. So it's an individual thing. Each one should really analyze, am I working so much just because I have the karma that I have to do so much endeavor to just maintain my family, or do I have artificial desires that impose me this type of routine because I want my children to go to this university and that university, and therefore I need hundreds of thousands of dollars to sponsor them, and therefore I have to work like a donkey. One needs to really, at the end of the day, it's really an individual thing. And you can see that different people make different choices according to the realization, according to the influence in their life, the various teachers they choose to hear from. Even within the bhakti or the guru shishya ecosystem, there are different, different, we could say, currents, which are compatible. But somebody is more like into, okay, kirtan melas, holy name, and so on. No, retreat, japa retreat, maybe that aspect. You are, and which is glorious, I'm just saying. And somebody else may be more into, no, we need to read more, the Bhagavatam. So maybe they establish Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav. So even within the, you could say, the Bhagavat particularly, Bhagavat Marg, even there are different tastes. And somebody says, no, let's chant more. Somebody says, let's study more. So, ultimately it boils down to the person, choices and situation. Okay? Okay, so I'll stop here. Thank you very much for staying so long. All the best. Hare Krishna. Jai Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.